Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
I want to talk to you about a very politically incorrect man this morning. His name was Jesus. Very politically incorrect. I mean, he was incorrect 2,000 years ago. Imagine this guy today. Oh my goodness, they would have stoned him. They would have stoned him for sure. But today, we live in such a politically correct world, it's almost impossible to hear the words of Jesus and not be offended. And it's meant to be that way. He's meant to offend us. He's meant to confront us. What he says to us is not accidental. And, you know, oh, well, that's 2,000 years ago. They weren't politically correct. No, he was offensive back then too. Because when he spoke about core human issues, it's offensive. You know, when your boss calls you in and says you're wrong, anyone find that offensive? Especially when you think you're right and he's wrong. You know, when your wife calls you in and says, you're a knucklehead. What'd you do that for? It's offensive, even though you're a knucklehead and you shouldn't have done it. Yeah? See, we don't like being confronted at our weaknesses. And this is the point. You see, Jesus' words here, he's not giving a recipe for the newest gluten-free banana bread recipe. He's not talking about who's going to win the World Cup or who's going to win the next election. He's talking about fundamental human issues that are relevant to every single person on this planet. And they're at our core. What Jesus talks about is at our very, very core. And when he makes these statements, they bring you to a conclusion. You must come to a yes, no conclusion with the claims of Jesus Christ. It's either true or it's not. You notice that about Jesus? There isn't a middle ground in his teaching. He says, this is how it is. And then he walks away. What do you want me to do with that? Well, you either agree with it or disagree. He's not offering it for us to argue and debate, which is what we tend to do. But he says, just make a decision. So that's what it is this morning. An opportunity to have a moment of a yes, no decision. Check this verse out. This is Jesus' claim. Talk about offensive. John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you want to talk about a polarizing statement. You want to talk about a statement of exclusivity. You want to talk about political intolerance. There it is. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And it's me. That's what Jesus says. It's me. Now, when he makes that statement, you're in a very difficult position. Because if you don't agree with him, you've got three potential arguments. How dare you say you're the way, like there's only one way to live. Come off it, mate. Who do you think you are? What do you mean one truth? Are you delusional? The world's full of truth. What's true for me might not be true for you, but it's still true for me. And you might have your truth and you say it's true, but you can't put your truth onto me. Only one life. How dare you tell me the way I live isn't good enough? How dare you? Who do you think you are? You see, if you don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you've got three very, very powerful arguments, unless if you're wrong. You see, if you're wrong, you can either see Jesus' words as ultimately offensive and reject him, or you can see his words as ultimately offensive and accept him. There isn't a middle ground. You can't say, maybe he's the way, but I don't believe he's the truth and the life. You can't say, oh, he's not the way, but he's truth and I like his teaching. He's a pretty truthful person and what a great life. He gave up his life for everyone. There isn't an either or thing here. There isn't a bit of this and a bit of that. There's no percentages. What Jesus says about being the way, the truth and the life is either 100% true or it is 100% false. It's 100% either way, and it's up to the hearer to hear Jesus' words and make a decision. This day, I'm going to reject what Jesus says. I say, no, he's not the way, he's not the truth, he's not the life for me. Or we say, I believe that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. They're the only two conclusions you can come to. Yes or no. No or yes. There isn't a maybe. And so today is a day for all of us. You know, you might say, oh, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Well, this is a great opportunity to say, I say he's the way, but do I follow him? Oh, yeah, I believe he's the truth, but some of the stuff he says, I've got to argue with because, you know, I've got a pretty good life. I mean, I became a Christian all these years ago and I put Jesus in my pocket. It's a pretty good life, but it could be better. You know, the question is he really the way, the truth, and the life for you? Because if he's not the way, the truth, and the life, then you're probably not living the way you should. You probably got some deception in there if he's not the truth. And life, I can bet you it's par. Subpar life. It might be good by some people's standards, but as far as God's concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, he came to give us life abundant and life eternal. And I want to tell you from first-hand experience, this life has no capacity to do that for you. In fact, this life only has the capacity to steal your life. The world will happily tell you you're a loser. The world will happily tell you you've got no future. But Jesus says, you're a victor. You have a future. Today's a new day. Every single new day that you're in Jesus Christ, you have new hope, new mercy, new grace is flowing towards you every single day, no matter how good or bad yesterday was. Today's a new day. Now that's the way to live. Do you know his truth never changes? Okay, I'm only 50, but I tell you, I've seen some amazing change in our society. What was true only 20 years ago, you could get locked up for now. How did that happen in two decades? The world has changed terribly. I don't think we would have foreseen a world where life was so cheap. Where we're talking about killing unborn children and old people we don't want anymore. What has happened to the value of life? Because we got rid of Jesus. That's what happened. And then we went our own way and we discerned our own truth and we determined what's valuable in life and whose life is worth keeping. Something is fundamentally wrong with our world. And if you're not a Christian, you are a part of a system that has no way, no truth, and absolutely no capacity to hold your own life in the value that Jesus holds your life. He thinks your life is so valuable. He exchanged his for you. You show me someone on this planet that's going to give their life for you. Oh, and I don't just mean because they don't know about your intimate and deep and dark secrets and those horrible past. Jesus died for you knowing it all. And yet he died for me and for you. So Jesus' statement that he is the way, the truth, and the life is either 100% true or it is 100% false. And I posit this morning, it is 100% true. Jesus' audience, when he says this, he says to him, there's actually a whole group of people here. See, that the offense of this is to have someone say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life suggests that you're lost. Like you don't know where you are. The only way you can say to someone is, I can show you the way, is if they are lost. Now, no one likes to admit they're lost, especially us blokes. Turn the GPS off. I know where I'm going. No man likes to be told he's lost. And guess what else I've learned? Women don't like it either. No one likes to hear you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. As soon as someone confronts us with that suggestion, oh, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Huh? And so Jesus here has a strange audience. Let's just put him in two categories. There's the religious and the non-religious. How's that? Simple? The religious and the non-religious. Imagine telling one of these Jewish Pharisees or Sadducees, you don't even know what the truth is. You don't know what you're doing. You have no idea how to get to God. I think in this instance, I'd rather be in the Gentile category, that the ones who don't have a clue, they don't know what they don't know. He goes, you're lost. And I go, where am I supposed to be going? What do you mean I'm lost? Where am I supposed to be going? How can I be lost if I don't know where I'm going? So let's say he's got two categories of people, the religious and the non-religious. He's offended the religious ones. Let me tell you that for free. I mean, they've been trying to kill him for a couple of years at this point in time. And now he gets up and says this. Oh, my goodness, you've got to be kidding. How dare you say that we don't know where we're going? Yeah. Maybe you're in that category. Maybe you find this statement hard to accept. Is he really the only way? Is his truth absolute? Can't I question some of it? Life. Surely I get to determine what's good in my life. Maybe you're in the other group that really don't have the foggiest clue where you are. And when you hear the word lost, it's offensive because you realize it's true. I really don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm meant to be doing with my life. And it's as offensive today as it was 2,000 years ago. Are you lost? So you're either lost and you want to be found, or you're lost and you don't want to be found. Because if you're found, you know it. And so if you're in the room and you're like lost and I don't want to be found, I can't do much for you. In fact, Jesus himself can do nothing for you. See, one of the keys to being found is wanting to be found. In Genesis, we read about Adam and Eve. What a beautiful couple they were. They were given one instruction. Don't eat the fruit. I mean, you're getting all the fruit here. There was so much abundance of fruit, but there's just one tree I don't want you eating from. Don't eat from that fruit. Now, you'd imagine that in the perfect garden, made by the perfect God and to perfect people, they'd be able to follow this perfectly simple instruction. You can eat a million fruits, don't eat this one. But we all know the story. Satan comes along and says, oh, God's only saying that because he's insecure. He knows if you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him. You're going to know everything he knows. He's scared that you're going to be as smart as him, that you yourself will become a God. So they fall for it, and they eat the fruit, and instantly they have this realization, we're naked. So they quickly run around and grab some banana leaves. Okay, fig leaves. It was fun just to elaborate, but anyway, we'll stick to the truth. They grab these banana leaves, fig leaves, and they sew a nice frock. And they hear God coming for a walk, as he did in the afternoon, come for a walk down in the garden. I don't know if they were big, you know, giant footsteps or it was this gentle brushing wind. I don't know. But they heard him and they freaked out. And what did they do? They took their fig leaves and found the biggest bush they could find and they hid. Now, the funny thing about the story is, here's God walking through the garden going, Adam, Eve, where are you? You just see Adam going, shh, don't say a word. Don't give it away. Stay low. Adam. Eve, where are you? I think we should tell him. There is this ironic notion that God doesn't have a clue where they are. Like they've actually successfully hidden from God. The one who made the entire universe in 6 days somehow has lost these two silly kids. Or they've successfully hidden from God. Not only what they've done, but themselves. Shh. He can't find us. Shh. Do you know most of humanity lives like that? God's calling out to us all the time. Shh. He can't see us. Stay busy and pretend you can't hear him. Shh. God calling out to you is not because he doesn't know where you are. He's presenting you an opportunity to be honest about where you are. I'm here and I'm lost. I thought the bush was big enough to hide behind, but I want to be found. If you want to be found, you have to first of all humble yourself and say, I'm lost. I'm lost. There is no way I can move forward from this moment because I've lost my bearings. If I go in this direction, I have no confidence that I'm moving in the right direction. If I go in this direction, I'm just going to stay here because I'm lost. I actually don't know where I'm going anymore. What's the truth? Well, I thought we knew the truth. Back when God spoke to us, we knew the truth. And then the devil comes along and I think he's telling me the truth. And now I don't know anymore. What's the truth anymore? Life. What's life look like now we've eaten the fruit and God said if we eat the fruit, we're going to die. How do I define life anymore? I didn't even know what death was. Now I understand I'm actually going to stop living one day. I'm going to die. I had life and now I don't even have life. I can't even define it anymore. So if you're lost, I've got some great news for you. If you can humble yourself, you can be found. You can find the way. You can find the truth. And you can find life, life abundant, life eternal. And the beauty is, we're not talking about finding a system. We're not talking about joining a church or a social group. I'm not talking about giving your money and your time or anything else. I'm talking about discovering a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, and Jesus says this today. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life, and his claim will never change. No matter how much society tells you there's a different way. No matter how much society tells you there's a better truth, no matter how much you are told there's a better life, I swear to you, as God is my witness, there is not. Jesus claims he is the way, he's the truth, he is the life. He will always be the way, the truth, and the life. The other part of his sentence there is really offensive. There's no way to the Father except through me. You see, we are all going to shuffle off this mortal coil one day. And we'll stand before the judge. And you know what he's not going to ask you? Were you a good husband or were you a good wife? He's not going to ask you, did you cheat on your taxes? He's not going to ask you whether you were good to your neighbors. He's not going to ask you whether you ever stole anything, lied about anything, or killed anyone. He would already know these things. But we have these arguments as a way to hide. It's time to stop hiding, I think. It's time for everybody to stop hiding and start being honest. There is only one way to the Father. And what Jesus is saying is, on that judgment day, of the million things he will not be asking you, the one thing he will ask you is, are you righteous? Are you right with God? That's the question for us this morning. If you are, look, here's the litmus test. Remove all the jargon, all the Christianese, all the analogies. It's simple. How do you know you're lost? Because you don't have confidence that you're right with God. Let me say that again. If you do not have a confidence that on judgment day you're going to stand and be found right, you're lost. Now, is that an offensive statement? Depends if you can admit you're lost or not, I guess. No more offensive than what Jesus said. In fact, it's a summary of what Jesus says. There is no way to be right with God the Father except through Jesus. There is no way to be found right with God the Father except through Jesus. All your good deeds, all your money, all your happy stuff, or everything you think you've done good does not qualify you for anything, anything. The one matter that will keep us separated from God is sin. The one thing that Jesus came to remove was sin and all of its effects. And if God has removed through Jesus the sin from your life, you are found to be by God righteous. You have a right standing with him. He's not going to ask if you read the Bible, did you attend church, did you do the prayer meetings, did you tithe, did you? These are all good things, let me tell you. Don't think for one second I'm eroding or deriding any of those things. They are essential for a healthy Christian life. But when it comes to the crunch, the only thing that matters is, are you right with God? Are you right with God? See, Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit comes when we're born again and he lives in here. You think, oh man, this is a bit mystical. Stick with me. He will do a number of things. And one of the key things that the Holy Spirit will do is convict you of sin. That means when I'm doing something wrong, I should feel something happen in here. Something like says, this is not good. Now, whether I know the Bible or not, there should be an awakening in my spirit that says, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing that, Phil. That's one of the things he does. Jesus says, I'm going and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And one thing he's going to do is teach you and train you in righteousness and convict of sin. So he convicts of sin and then he does this. He trained you in righteousness. It's not just one thing that he does to say, stop doing that. He'll begin to train you in the ways of righteousness. Because you've now been made right through Jesus, you have this wonderful and blessed obligation to continue to live a right life. Living a right life is not a downside. Living a right life is an upside. You don't have to worry about getting caught. You don't have to worry about paying back what you took. Hiding in the bushes. No hide and seek. Living a good life, living a right life is a good thing. Now, of course, while we're in this doughy mesh, there's still going to be temptations. Oh, this looks like a better way. This looks like a more appealing truth. Oh, now that's life. But there's only one way. There's only one truth and there's only one life. And it's Jesus. Only one way. Only one truth. A truth that will never change. I like to think. And so the appealing thing for me is the intellectual side of Scripture. I love thrashing out what I once thought was truth or is proposed as truth and working through it. I love the intellectual argument of coming to a position. Now, you might not be like that, but for me, the truth side of Jesus, what he brings is just so radically exciting for me because I hate the way society changes on a dime. Someone writes a policy, it gets signed off, and all of a sudden, everything's changed. And all of a sudden, what is now true 20 years ago was untrue. And what was true over there is now untrue. So if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't given your life to him, I say it with love, but you're lost. And if you want to be found, you can be found. He presents to you a way. He presents to you truth that you can bank your whole life on. And he presents to you a life that's not just abundant now, but eternal life. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his son, Jesus. That if you believe in him, you don't have to perish. You'll have eternal life. Are you lost? Do you know the way? Do you know the truth? Do you know the life? We're not talking philosophy or religion, ideology. We're talking right where you're living, right where you're at. This impacts you. The way, the truth, the life is for you. And the only thing that will stop you accepting Jesus is being unable to humble yourself and say, I'm lost. Now, maybe you're not ready to admit it. I hope the day comes soon when you can acknowledge you're lost, because the thing about Jesus is his claims don't change. He will always be the way, the truth, and the life. The question is, when will you wake up and realize it? So if you're lost, do you want to be found? It's not difficult, huh? Don't spend the rest of your days hidden behind a bushel. Shh. You and all your buddies. Shh. Careful, he might hear us. You can be sure he can hear you. The question is, can you hear you? If you're telling yourself, maybe later on I'll become a Christian. Maybe later on when I fix up my life. Maybe later on when I get rid of this habit, I'll become a Christian. You've got no guarantee of later on. No, none of us have a guarantee that we're even going to get home today. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just the jolly facts of life, right? Like this week in Queensland, a young girl and her four kids get killed on the road. Gone. They're in eternity. Forever. They're gone forever. Did they have moments, opportunities where they could have known the way, the truth, and the life? Possibly. Your future is not guaranteed. Your tomorrow is not guaranteed. Your today is not guaranteed. Are you right with God? And there's only one way you will be. It's through Jesus. It's saying, I've sinned, and no amount of fig trees or bushes are going to hide me from the fact that I've sinned, and God knows it. But Jesus died for you. He died to pay for every single one of your sins, even the ones you don't think anybody knows about, he knows about. He paid for them all. And you can be found, and you can be free, and you can be forgiven. Did you hear that? You can be found, you can be freed and forgiven if you come to Jesus. And it's so simple. It's almost one of those things where you'd say, it's too good to be true. I would agree, except it's true. Do you want to be found? That's the question. Because if you don't know the way, the truth, and the life, I'm sorry, but you're lost. And I'd love you to be found this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I thank you that your word just never changes. Your truths never change. The simplicity of your message, we can't really argue with it. We can either accept it or reject it. If you're lost, do you want to be found? If you don't know the way forward, Jesus can show you. And we're not talking about some distant religious figure from millennia ago. We're talking about a Jesus who said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And when you invite him into your life, you're actually inviting his Spirit and his Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you, confirming always that you're a child of God. He will never leave you, he will never forsake you.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.